I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today comes to us from near the end of John's gospel, a section called the Farewell Discourse. It's called this because Jesus is teaching and praying for his apostles before he's betrayed and handed over to crucifixion and death. We hear this text this Sunday because we just celebrated the Feast of the Ascension this past Thursday, where Jesus bids a different sort of farewell to his apostles as he ascends into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God before he comes again in glory. And so we exist liturgically in this time between the Ascension and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which we will celebrate the great Feast of Pentecost next Sunday. But it's also fitting that we hear this text in this parish this week because this is my last Sunday with you. My time here at the Church of the Transfiguration is up, and I also must bid farewell. And I must confess that after coffee hour, I hope my preference would be to leave here in ascension rather than being betrayed and crucified. So we'll see how things go. But as I've been praying about this sermon and thinking about what to preach to you all, I've been struck by the many ways in which this church has witnessed Christ to me, in which this church has reflected something of Christ's glory through its worship, through its witness, through all of your words and deeds. And so because of this, what struck out to me from this text was just in that first verse where Jesus prays with the apostles for those who will come to believe on account of your word, those who will come to believe on account of their word. Jesus is there with the apostles, those who have come to faith and knowledge and obedience to him through a direct encounter, by encountering him in the flesh, being called directly by name. And here Jesus recognizes that he must leave and that the apostles are now charged with spreading the good news of Christ, with accomplishing the work of reconciliation, unity, and peace that Christ did in this world through the apostles as they go out to form his church. And this prayer for those who will come to believe in Christ through their word is a prayer that echoes to our own day. It includes us here 2,000 years later. For all of us as the church have come to believe in Christ through the words of others, through the church, through its proclamation of the gospel, through its faithful witness to who Christ is. So we too are charged with spreading that good news, with bearing witness to Christ through our actions, through our words. And friends, this is a difficult task. For one, we're struck with so many examples of the church bearing false witness to Christ, of Christians who give a defective or faulty witness of who Christ is through their words, through their actions. We don't need to look far to draw to mind images of scandal in the church, of abuses of power, of the church being used as a political pawn and selling the gospel short for political gain. We can think of all the individual and particular ways in which we have been let down by the church, by other Christians. We can just think about the shame that we feel being counted among the same bunch as those who spew vitriol with bullhorn and sandwich board. There's so many bad examples of how to bear witness to Christ, and this makes it difficult. But not just this, but bearing faithful witness to Christ can be dangerous, it can be risky, or it can just be simply embarrassing. A particularly dramatic example that's always stuck with me is of certain Roman Catholics in Chile in the 70s and 80s. This was a time in that country's history when the Chilean government used torture against its civilians in egregious numbers. And some members of the Catholic Church in Chile, they came to see their participation in the Eucharist as a call to resist this torture. They came to see that Christ was himself a victim of torture and that this called them to bear faithful witness to Christ's work of peace. And so they would do things like refuse the Eucharist to known torturers, or celebrate protest masses outside sites where torture was occurring, or simply set up relief funds for the families of those whose relatives had disappeared at the hands of the government. All this was bearing faithful witness to Christ in a way that was dangerous, in a way that was risky. To give a much less dramatic example, when I was serving at the chaplaincy, the Episcopal chaplaincy at Rutgers University, the chaplain tasked me with assisting him on Ash Wednesday in imposing ashes. Of course, this is a way in which one of the many ways in which the church bears witness to Christ by acknowledging the reality of sin, of death, and the hope that it will be that those realities will be defeated in Christ and are defeated in Christ. And so there we were in the middle of the campus, imposing ashes on students. And what many saw, some students came and received ashes, but many just saw two strange men in white robes putting ashes on people's foreheads. And I saw untold numbers cross the street so they could walk on the other side. This was a little bit embarrassing. It shows that in any number of ways, bearing witness to Christ can be risky, it can be embarrassing, it can be dangerous. But the good news of our gospel text today is that we do not have to bear witness to Christ alone. We are not doing this by our own power alone, not by any capacity that we have to fully and accurately bear witness to Christ. No, the great promise of Christianity is that in Christ, God is reconciling the world and has incorporated us, his church, into that work. The promise of this text is that just as Christ and the Father are one, just as they dwell in each other, so too does Christ dwell in us, in the church. This is a promise that we will be equipped, we will be called, we will be shaped for faithful witness to Christ, even in the midst of all the false examples we see, even in the midst of the reality of danger and risk and embarrassment. If you go to Rome, there's a fountain outside of the Spanish Steps. You may have seen it if you've been there, in which it's a boat, and it represents the church. It's a fountain, so it's full of water, and that reflects that the church is consistently sinking. It's consistently failing in its witness to Christ. But at the same time, it does not fully sink. It's continually sustained because of Christ's indwelling, because of the work of the Spirit in the church. And that's the promise of this text, that God is reconciling the world that in Christ, drawing all things into unity, into peace, into reconciliation, and that we're incorporated into this work through Christ. We are given as a gift to God, to Christ, as our text for today says, and that incorporates us into that work. And that's a very 10,000-foot view of things. But as I leave this parish, I can think of any number of common, simple, even mundane ways in which this church has borne faithful witness to Christ in my time here. From our liturgy and music, which testify to God's glory, from the example of our rectors and all other priests who serve here, Father Platt, Mother Turner, and their faithful witness to Christ's priestly work and prophetic office. From the untold ways in which some of you have shared with me how God has been working in your lives, or in your honesty in the ways in which you do not see God at work, and your silent hope in spite of that, all that bears faithful witness. You see it in the dedication of so many of you in this parish, the many ministries of this church, in your faithfulness in attending services, in participating in all the ministries that this church does, from the Episcopal Actors Guild to Ecclesia and beyond. And importantly for me, as I prepare for priestly ministry, as I leave this church, are all the untold ways, untold to you, perhaps, in which you have formed me, shaped me, challenged me, and affirmed me in my call to the priesthood, made me a better image of what a priest should be as I go out from this place, as I leave this church. I have an immense debt to thank you all for that. And so we, as the church, are called to be Christ's witnesses. We are the recipients of Christ's prayer for those who will come to believe on account of your word. And that you're there is this church, each and every one of you, as you witness to Christ in ways dramatic and mundane and simple.